Begin the current daven, Sechlis Menachas Daf Samach Dalad. Begin 6 lines down with the top of the Amid, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daven. That is, we had the opening halacha of our new Perek Bishmol. He had said that it depends if the second day of Pesach, the 16th of Nisan, the day when the Omer is brought, if it's Shabbos or it's a weekday. Says, if it falls on the Shabbos, then we sieve and we sift to get the sar and ha'efa, which is what's used for the carbon Omer, from only 3 sa of flour. In contrast, on a weekday, we get it from 5 sa of barley. So now the Gemara had explained what's the reason for his opinion. Do you need 5? Then do 5 even on Shabbos, because like the last Mishnah will explain that it's Toich HaShabbos. And if it only needs 3, then why in the weekday did they use 5? So now the Gemara had explained that in truth, the ideal way is through 5. But on Shabbos, what we do is we diminish as much as possible not to have malachas done, and since it's not necessary to do more kaitzer and teichin and merakin and all these different malachas and bayir that would be done for the extra 2 saw of the parley, so therefore we minimize that as much as possible, and if it's not necessary, we're going to do from 3, and with 3, if you sifted more, you'll be able to get very similar to what you'd be able to get with 5. So that Rabbi had said, oh, this opinion of Rabbi Shmuel in our Mishnah, and Rabbi Shmuel b'nai Shabbi Yechim and Bereka, they say the same thing, which the Gemara had refuted and said, not necessarily are they saying the same thing. So then the Gemara continues and says, Elam Rabbi. Rather, Rabbi says, you know what, Rabbi Shmuel of our Mishnah, Rabbi Chanina Sgan HaKehanim, and a different Tanoic opinion, Amar Davrecha, they're both saying the same thing, this idea that we minimize as much as possible if we can get the same goal on Shabbos, we're going to do less malacha than what's necessary. It's not like learned in our Mishnah. The second part of our Mishnah, the first part is regarding how much do we take it from 3 saw or 5 saw, which was the machlekes. The second half of the Mishnah was discussing, okay, how, in the procession that's done, how many people, how many tools are utilized in that procession. So our Mishnah had said, machlekes there too. Rabbi Chanina Sigana Kana Maimer, he says, B'Shabbos Niktzer B'Yachim. On Shabbos, they would do what's called Ketziris, I mean the reaping. They would actually rip it out from the ground. That was done B'Yachim with one individual, B'Magalechim with one sickle, B'Kubachas with one basket. If it's on a weekday, the 16th of Nisan, then they would do it b'shleish with 3 people, b'shalosh kupas with 3 baskets, b'shalosh magalos and with 3 sickles. So he differentiates. They disagree. They say no, echad Shabbos ve'echad chol doesn't make a difference if it's Shabbos or a weekday. B'shalosh kupas, b'shalosh magalos, it was done with 3 baskets and with 3 sickles. Says Rabba, Mila kam Reb Chanina Sekana Kanam Asim. So what do we find there at the end of our Mishnah? The Reb Chanina, the deputy of the Kanam, that he says, Kivin the Efshar, since it's possible to do on Shabbos with less, just you could do the reaping with one person, with one sickle. So Lo Techina, we don't go through the effort to do more as we would do on a normal weekday. So Chanami here also, in the first part of a Mishnah, Rabbi Shmuel's halacha, that Rabbi Shmuel says, although generally we do it 5, but on Shabbos we minimize as much as possible, do it from 3 sa'an, kivin the efshar, since it's possible to get the same results with less malacha, lo techina, we don't go through the efforts, so seemingly Rabbi Chanina Sekan Dekanim, Rabbi Shmuel is saying the same thing. To which the Gemara says, Mimai, no, from where do you see that? Dilma adkan lo kama Rabbi Shmuel halacha, maybe Rabbi Shmuel says, the halacha will be here, that you're only going to do 3 sa'an instead of 5 sa'an, because Ela Deleka Persumi Milsa. It's not something that has relevancy regarding revealing the true halacha. It's just, we just have to get an Isaran of Eifa. And you can get that. Aval Hasam, but over there in the halacha of Reb Chanina, Deker Persumi Milsa, where it relates to revelation of the halacha, which is by doing the activities of the Ketzir Saim with 3 people, that makes more of a pump, more of an announcement than doing with an individual. So Ema, I would say that actually over there, Rabbi Shmuel Kirabonin, severely would hold like Kirabonin, who disagreed with Chanina Sekana Kanam, and actually he would hold that you would actually do with 3 people to publicize that the reaping of the Omer of the barley on the 6th of Nisan is actually something that is permitted even on Shabbos, because that's actually when it's supposed to be done. Because that's coming to preclude from the Beisusim, who didn't believe in the oral interpretation of the halacha, that they said actually it was only brought on a Sunday, and no matter what day Pesach fell out on. So maybe as a way of publicizing that they're wrong, Rabbi Shmuel would actually agree, it's done with 3. And if not necessarily would hold Rabbi Chanina Sekana Kanam, they do with 1. So to the other way, Inami, or also, Ad Kan Lekam Rabbi Chanina Sekana Kanam Hasam, weird we find that he says that you can do with only one person, one sickle, one basket. You know why? Because the Ibechad, Ibechleisha, because whether you do it with one person or with 3 people, the halacha that's necessarily for Hekdish, for the base of Mikdash, for the Avodah, was done according to its halacha. It's no less than when you do it with one person. Aval hacha, but over here regarding doing the omer from three sa, in contrast to the five sa that you're saying you usually do during the weekday, that you're not doing the requisite halacha that you need for what hekdesh is required according to Rabbi Shmuel, because he says when you do it from five sa, it makes it better. So maybe we could say Rabbi Chanina actually would agree based on the understanding of Rabbi Shmuel that five is better. Maybe he would say they actually need five sa, and therefore it's not necessarily that they're both saying the same idea. So Elam Ravashi, rather Ravashi comes along and he says, it's different, Tanoim. Rabbi Shmuel of our Mishnah, Rabbi Yesi, Amr Dabrecha, they're saying the same idea. It's not, because we learn the Mishnah Masechtas Rosh Hashanah. The Mishnah says, Bein Shinira, whether the new moon was seen Ba'alil. Clearly, that the whole world could see that there's a new moon. Or Bein Shaloi Nira Ba'alil, or maybe, or whether it's not so recognizable to everyone. The halacha is, Machalon of the Shabbos, they desecrate the witnesses who saw the new moon, desecrated to come to the court to testify so that they could go ahead and be Mekadosh, the Chedosh, which had to be based on oral testimony that a new moon was seen so that they could say, oh, it's Rosh Chedosh, it's the new month. Now, Rabbi Yisem, he says, no. Im Nir Balil, if it's clearly seen that the whole world can see there's a new moon, in Mechalon of the Shabbos, then you don't desecrate Shabbos to go and to testify in the court and go out of the Tchum, etc., because not necessary, since everyone saw it, so the courts also saw it, so they don't need you to Mechal Shabbos to desecrate the Shabbos to come and testify. Whereas the Talmud Kama said, no, in all situations we do. Now, on that says Rav Ashi, Milam Rabbi Yisi Hasam, don't we find Rabbi Yisi saying over there, Kivin the Efshar, since it's possible not to be Mechal Shabbos, because taking a no anyway, we don't go through the effort, we don't allow Chil Shabbos unnecessarily. So, here also, when it's possible to do the Omer from three saw and not to do more malachas and get five saw, we don't go through the effort, so that's the same thing like Rabbi Shmuel. So, Zigmar, no, Mimai. From where do you see that's the same idea? Maybe Rabbi Shmuel only says over here in the halacha of our Mishnah that you're going to do with less. Because El Deleka, because there's no problem of, quote, Nimtzisate Machshin Lasalavai, that you're going to make a stumbling block for the future. There's nothing wrong that would happen if you do only three instead of five. So then you minimize. Aval Hasam, but over there by the new moon, where there is a problem of the Nimtzisate Machshin Lasalavai, you're going to make a stumbling block in the future, because sometimes it's going to be, that's not really so recognizable and so clear to everyone. But the witnesses are going to say, well, just like we saw it, maybe also the court saw it, and why should we desecrate the Shabbos? Because we know that if everyone saw it, we're not allowed to go ahead. And therefore, that's going to create a stumbling block, because then, actually, maybe others didn't see it. And then the month is not going to be established according to the proper halacha on the day that it's supposed to be. So therefore, Emek Rabbanan Svirlei, I could actually say that maybe Rabbi Shmuel agrees to the Rabbanan, that in all situations, we are Mechal Shabbos, even though it was near Balil, even though the moon was clearly seen by everyone. And not like Rabbi Yisi. Or Yinam, maybe you could say the other way. Ad kan lakam Rabbi Yisi hasam, where do we find Rabbi Yisi saying over there that we minimize El Deleka Tzarech Gevaya? Because that has something that has a need for Gevaya, meaning because it's not a carbon, so although it's a mitzvah purpose, but it's not a hektish purpose. And also, there's no other permissibility on that day for any other reason to override Shabbos. So because of that, he says, okay, but it's clearly seen. It's not something that's a carbon need. And it's also, there's no other reason why you can be Mechal Shabbos. So then you can't be Mechal Shabbos. Aval hacha, but in the halacha of our Mishnah, regarding how many sun you use for the Omer, de'ikat tzarech gevaya, that's something that has a hektish necessity, because like we said, five saw is really better than three. Moreover, in the Shabbos Lidachis, anyway Shabbos is being overridden now because of the three sun that everyone agrees is used. So since you could override Shabbos because of the three saw, that itself would give us a reason to say migu that, okay, so we could override it because of another two saw. Emek Rabban Svirlei, I would actually say that maybe Rabbi Yisi agrees to the Rabban and not Rabbi Shmuel, and there is no raya from the last three attempts that Gemara had to say Rabbi Shmuel's opinion is like any other of the Tanaim that we quoted. Now, continuing our related discussion, Itma, we learned, Shachat Shtei Chatoyis Shel Tzibur, which relates back to this idea about overriding Shabbos, regarding situations of an error regarding Chil Shabbos, if someone is slaughtering two Karbanos Chatos of the Tzibur. It's the public's Karbanos Chatos. Now, but Ve'en Tzarech Lachas really only needs one. So for example, let's say we're talking about the Chatos of the Seiri Regal, that are the He-Goats that are brought on Yom Tovim, which is on the Shabbos during a Yom Tov. Now, as Tosafot points out, the reason why I picked specifically a Chatos and not Oilis is because Oilis, there's many Karbanos Chatos, and you don't only need one. But generally, Chatos, you only need one. So you only need one, but the individual here made a mistake and he's slaughtering two chatois for the tzibur. So Amar Rabba says, Vitam Rabami, some say Rabami, So chayav alashniya. So one is liable a karban chatas because of the second chatas that he slaughtered, where he was a mistake. He thought you're allowed to slaughter it on Shabbos since it's that of the tzibur, but he made a mistake because once he slaughtered the first one, so then the second one's not any more appropriate for the tzibur because there's only one chatas that has to be brought. The second one, even if it was designated for it, it's not any more a karban tzibur after you already brought the first one. So you chayav for chil Shabbos for what you slaughtered the second one. But upat al rishayin, but it's obviously exempt for the first one because that's permitted to be done for the karban tzibur even on Shabbos. Now, moreover, says Rabbah, even if the atonement is actually happening with the second animal. How so? For example, let's say the first one, after it was slaughtered, the blood spilled out. And that was after the second one was already slaughtered. Now, you would think to say that maybe we should exempt him for slaughtering the second one totally. Why? Because the first one you're exempt, because when you slaughtered it, that was with permission, because that was going to be the carbon tibber. Even though ultimately the atonement was only with the second one. But the second one should also be exempt because since that was with the carbon that you ended up getting atonement with, so that is what Rabbi is saying, that no, even so you can be liable for the second one and be exempt on the first one because we defined it based on the time of the slaughtering. The time of the slaughtering, the first one was permitted, so you're exempt. The second one at the time of the slaughtering, the first one's blood didn't spill out yet, so that was not permitted. So though when the first one's blood spills out, now that's not valid, we're going to use the second one and its blood is going to be the atonement, but the slaughtering was not permitted at the time, and therefore one's liable for the Chil Shabbos for slaughtering that second animal. Now moreover, continues Rabbah, even if it turns out that the first animal was lean, was weak, before the slaughtering of the second animal, which generally you would say that's a problem, like the Pasuk of Malachi says, Hakarveinu lafachasecha, you're going to bring these lame animals to your governor, for sure not to Hashem. And he goes and so he finds out that it's lean and then he slaughters the second one. He's still going to be liable because ultimately that lean one would be valid as a carbon. And therefore, once you slaughtered, you now go ahead and slaughter even a better animal when you find that the first one is lean. And if one does, one's going to be chayav on the second one. Now, in this last halacha, the Gemara says, "Miyam Rabbah Hachi." Did Rabbah really say this? But V'amar Rabbah, Rabbah was quoted as saying, "Hayu lefanav shtei chatois." Someone had in front of him on Shabbos two karbanos chatos. He has to bring only one. Achas shmeina, achas kachusha. One is a fatty one, a good, healthy one, and one is a lean one, a weak one. Shachat shmeina, achkach shachat kachusha. If he first slaughters the fatty one and then the lean one, so chayiv is liable. The first one is already valid, and the second one is unnecessary. Kachusha v'achkach shmeina. But if he first slaughtered the lean one and then the fatty one, it's going to be potz, it's going to be exempt. Moreover, not only that, Ella, even initially, that they tell him after that he slaughtered the lean one, bring the fatty one now initially and slaughter because we don't use that lean one. And therefore, you see that Rabbi says not like the last halacha, the previous statement, because the previous statement said that if he went and he slaughtered the fatty one after the first one, it's going to be chayiv, but you see here not. Even initially we say that go ahead and slaughter the fatty one because we're not going to use the lean one. So the Gemara has two answers. You're right. If you want, you could say, you have to delete from the first statement of Rabbi that we quoted the halacha being liable if the first one was lean. Because actually, like the second halacha says that no one's exempt, and even initially we tell him to go ahead and bring the shmena. Or if you want, you could say, hahi, that first statement that we had quoted, as some had said, Rabbi Amr, it was Rabbi who said it, and delete that the attribution that it was Rabbi. Because Rabbi actually holds that one is Patzer, because we're not going to bring the lean one, and you actually initially go and bring the second one as a Shemain, and one's not Chayav on that one. Now, continue on this halacha, Amali Ravin Ravashi. It says, Nimtzis Rishay Nekechusha Bevnei Ma'ayin. So let's say they find after the slaughtering that the first one was lean, even though on the outside it looked robust, but it was lean in its intestines, in the inside. So initially it looked like it was fatty, but now it turns out that it was really kechusha. Now, however, before they slaughtered the second one, they didn't go ahead and slaughter that one, the second one, with permission, because at the time of the slaughtering the second one, they didn't know yet that the first one was lean. Maha, what's the halacha? And the question specifically is according to Rabbah, that he had said that if, let's say, you find that the first one is lean before the second one is slaughtered, then one's not chayv, and actually even initially we tell him to slaughter the fatty one. But over here, where at the time that he slaughtered the second one, he didn't know that the first one was lean. What would the halacha be, as the Gemara explains the question? Do we go based on the thought process, the cognitions of the one who's slaughtering? The one who was slaughtering, his intention was prohibitively, because when he slaughtered the second one, he didn't yet know that the first one was lean. So based on his understanding, he wasn't really allowed to go ahead and do it. Now, as Rashi points out, this that it says li isura chaven doesn't necessarily mean that he intended to do a prohibition, because, like we said, he was doing this by mistake. He thought you're allowed to. He thought that it was that of the tzibur. It's just what it means to say is, in his mistake, he was intending to slaughter something that was really forbidden because he didn't know about the fact that it was lean, because that was intentionally, and therefore he would be chayav achatas. Maybe go based on his actions. And retroactively, it turns out that his actions were appropriate because it turns out the first one was lean. And in his action, that makes the second one appropriate to be slaughtered and therefore not to be chayv on Shabbos. So Amalei, so that Rav Ashi answered back to Ravin. He says, Lav hainu de Rabba v'Rava. Isn't this what we had said in Rabba and Rava? Which in this version says that based on both Rabba and Rava would hold that this second slaughtering would be chayv. Because in this case, we would go based on his thought, and based on his thought, he knows nothing about the fact that the first one is lean. What's this conversation? The Idma, we learned as follows. Shama shetava tinik bayam. Someone heard that a child drowned at sea. Uparas mitzu delahalis dogam. Now, this person, in violation of halacha, was going fishing. He was spreading out a net to catch fish on Shabbos. Now, vehela dogam, and he catches fish. So chayv, is he liable for the malacha of tzedah of trapping fish on Shabbos? But let's say lahalas dogim, he intended to catch fish, vehela dogim mitinik, and since he spread out a net, not only did he catch a fish, he caught the child too, which that's permitted, yalabi machal Shabbos, to save a child's life. What's the halacha in this situation? So Rabba Amachavi says, still the person's liable for being machal Shabbos. Rabba Amapata, Rabba says he's going to be exempt. And that explains Rav Ashi. Now, Vi'ad Kan Rabba Loi Kapater. Now, up until now, in that situation, Rabba said that the person's going to be exempt. You know why? That's Elikivin Deshama. That's only because, ultimately, he did hear that a child had drowned that day. And you could say, Amrinan, we say, Nami Daite Atinik, that although he was going fishing, he also had in mind, oh, maybe I'll save the child. That's why, if he ultimately ends up saving the child in combination, so he's going to be exempt because that was a permitted action. But if he didn't hear anything about a child being drowned that day, even if he would end up saving the child, of course, even in that situation, that Rabbi would agree that you're going to be chayv because he knew nothing about it. So therefore, the same thing is in our situation where he knew nothing about it being lean. Even Rabbi, who goes based on the actions, would agree that I have to have at least some thought. And here, there's no thought at all. He knew nothing about it being lean. Even he would agree. So therefore, everyone would agree that in this situation, be chayv. Now, Begadami, those say a different version. The Rama Lehi said to him, isn't this Hainu Pluktayu de Rabba V'Rava? Isn't this contingent on the Machlikas Rabba and Rava? In other words, according to the second version, he's saying according to Rabba, you'd be Pater. According to Rava, you'd be Chayv, the one who's slaughtering the second animal. Why? Because Ditma, we learned, Shamash HaTavetenek Bayam, someone heard that a child drowned at sea, Uparas Mitzu Dalalas Dogam, and he spread out netting to catch fish, Velad Dogam, he caught fish, and then Chayv, everyone agrees you're going to be liable. Lahalis dogim, if he spreads it out to catch fish. Vehela tinnik v'dogim, and he catches a child and the fish. So Rabba amapata, Rabba says he's going to be exempt. Rabba amachayv, and Rabba says you're going to be liable. Now what's the reason of Rabba amapata, that Rabba says you're going to be exempt? Isn't it's not because he heard anything, that's according to the second version, rather because zilbas amaisim, you go based on his actions. So therefore, the same thing would be according to this version, even if he didn't hear anything. Now, so then, according to this version, why does it say that he heard the child drown? It's to say that even when he did hear, when he catches the fish without the child, then he's going to be chayv. Even though you could say, well, I mean, he heard a child drown, maybe his intention was also to catch him, maybe, no, we go based on his actions. His actions, you caught no child, you're going to be chayv. And that was saying, when you, however, did catch a child, even if you did not intend anything about the child, you're going to be exempt. So too over here, Rabbi said you're going to be exempt because even though you knew nothing about being lean, but we go basically purely on your actions. And your actions were permitted retroactively. Here also is permitted. Rabbi Machai, but Rabbi would say you'd be chayiv because zilbas makshav to go based on his thought. His thought was to do tzedah on Shabbos. His thought here was to do something that is a prohibited action because he knew nothing about being lean. And therefore, according to Rabbi, you'd be chayiv. According to Rabbi, you'd be pat. Continuing these halachas, another statement from Amar Rabbi. Says Chayla Shamdu LeGregoris Achas, an ill person that was evaluated that if he eats one dried fig, he'll be healed. So Veratzu Asar Bnei Adam. So 10 people ran quickly. They viu Asar Gregoris Bevasachas, and they each brought one. So they brought 10 dried figs at one time. So Baturin, they're all exempt if they did something that was inappropriate for Shabbos because it was for an ill person. And moreover, even if it was consecutive, which is that they wasn't even all at the same time, they came one after another, since they all their intentions were a mitzvah purpose, they're going to be patur because the halacha says zaris l'chayla meshubach, whoever does quicker to heal a sick person is praiseworthy. And afilu kadam b'hivri b'rishayin, even if he had already been healed by the first one, and then another guy comes, what they had done in the way of chil Shabbos is not problematic. They're going to be exempt because their intention was to heal the sick person. By Rava asked, however, if let's say a sick person was evaluated, he needs two dried figs to save his life. Now, there is two dried figs on two different stems that it's hanging on. Now, there's three figs that are hanging on one stem. Which one should we bring? Do we say shtayim ma'isinan the chazilei? We bring two because that's what he needs, is two. So you're allowed to do the malacha that it takes for whatever it is to heal him, which is two. Idema shalish ma'isinan, maybe you bring the one that has three figs to come a ma'at katsir, because you're minimizing the amount of malacha that's being done of reaping, because he's only doing one ma'isa katsir, because he only has to do one tear. One pull from that stem is going to give him three figs. So what do? You do two, which is the amount that he needs, and not three? Or do you say, no, you'll do three, because even though it's more than what you needed, but you're going to do less katsira, because you're going to do one stem instead of the two, which has two stems. Says Gemara, Pshita Shalash Maisina. It's obvious that you're going to bring the one that has three figs on the one stem, as we continue to Talmud Beis. Because the Ad Kam L'Kam Yerushmal Hasam, where do we find Yerushmal in our mission that he says that you're going to reap less grain on Shabbos? You can do only three instead of five. That's ela dechim emayit ba'achil. That's only because when you're going to do less food, meaning less grain, you'll take three sa instead of five. Kama mayit katsira. You'll be minimizing the amount of malacha being done at Shabbos, that you'll be reaping only three sa of barley instead of five. So that's what you'll do. Aval ha'ocha dechim kama mayit ba'achil. But over here, when you're going to be minimizing the amount of food, in the benefit of giving him, if you'll take only the one that has two figs instead of three, actually, you're actually going to be increasing reaping because you're going to be pulling off from two stems instead of one. And therefore, it says the Gemara, in that situation, most definitely, we didn't say to take less food. For sure, you'll bring the one that has three because you're actually going to be minimizing malach in that situation and you'll be taking from one stem instead of three stems. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on the halacha of the Omer, the barley offering that's brought on the second day of Pesach on the 16th of Nisan. Says the Mishnah, mitzvah sa'omer lehevi min hakarav. The mitzvah initially by the Omer offering is to bring from those grains that are closest to Yerushalayim. Now, but let's say loy biker hakarav l'Yerushalayim. Let's say those grains that barley that are near Yerushalayim have not fully ripened and matured. So then mevin lesim mekamakim. Then you bring it from wherever you can get it. And actually says the Mishnah, Maisa Shaboha Omer, Migagas Srifin. There was actually such an incident where the Omer, the barley offering, was brought from this place, Gagas Srifin. Veshtei Alechem, and the two new breads of wheat that are brought on Shavuos, Mibikas Ein Secher, was from this valley of Ein Secher, which is the very far from Yerushalayim, but since you couldn't get closer, they could even bring it from far away. Now, the Gemara says, my time, what's the reason that you need to bring it from close by? Says the Gemara, Ibay say Mishum Carmel. Either you're going to say, because like the Pasuk says in the Minchas Ha'imer V'yukar Beis, it says the word Carmel, that Carmel Takriv, the word Carmel could be composite of two words. The word Kar could be read Rach, which is the flipped of the word, and Mal, which means say that either it means Mule, so it has to be soft and full, which is that the grain has to be soft, and mal also can mean nimlelas b'yad, that has to be easily crumbled in the hand, but if it's brought from a faraway place, the wind is going to be blowing it on the whole journey and it's going to make it hard. It has to be soft. Or v'yibay same, if you want, you can say the reason why you have to bring it from somewhere close is mishum de'in mavirin al mitzvah, which is a general halacha, that we don't pass over an opportunity of a mitzvah. So therefore, right when you leave Yerushalayim to go get the Omer, that which you find first, you already have halacha, ema virin al mitzvah, don't pass over this mitzvah opportunity, and that's why you bring from close. But again, if you don't have, then you bring from far away. Now the Gemara brings the Mishnah that said that Maisa Shabbat Ha'imer Megagas Srifin. There was actually a story where they had to bring it from far away in Eretz Yisrael from Gagas Srifin. So Tarmon Linda Bryce that says that story when that happened. Keshetzari Malchi Beis Chashmonoi Zel Zeh, when the different factions of the Chashmonoi dynasty were waging war against each other. One brother Hurkanus was on the outside, and the Aristobulus mibefnim. Aristobulus was inside Yerushalayim. Now, b'chol yom v'yom hoy mishashlan dinarim b'kupa. Every single day, those on the inside would let down a basket of coins down outside the wall. U'malan t'midim, and those on the outside would give them the two lambs that were necessary as carbon t'midim to be brought that day in the Beis Hamikdash. But hayisham zaken echad, there was one elderly person inside the walls of Yerushalayim. Shoyimaka b'chachmes yavanis, who is proficient in the Greek wisdom of alluding to things by sign language. And laws lem chachmes yavanis, he signaled to them in this Greek language, this Greek wisdom, and amalan, he said to them on the outside, look, cause man shasukim avoid, as long as those on the inside are busy doing the service of the Beis HaMikdash, because you're giving them every day these two lamps to bring his carbon to meet them, in them sarm b'yatchem, they're not going to be given over into your hands. So lamacha, the next day, shishlan dinar b'kupa, the ones on the inside, as they did every day, let down the coins in the basket. But v'helan chazir, the ones on the outside, instead of letting up lambs, ended up putting up in the basket a swine. Now kivin shagil l'chatzichem, when the swine was being let up, and it reached halfway up the wall, no'atz tziparn l'b'chema, the swine stuck its fingers into the wall of Yerushalayim. V'nizdazeya Eretz Yisrael arba meis parsa al arba meis parsa, and the land of Eretz Yisrael shook a distance of 400 parsa square. Now Ba'isa Sha'amru was at that moment that they said, Oru she'igadl chazir, cursed is the one who brings up swine, that they had this opportunity to use it to make such a disgrace and a mockery of the Avodah Beis HaMikdash. And the Arush, Yelamed B'nei Chacham HaSivanis, and cursed is the one who teaches his son this Greek wisdom, that this was the cause, the impetus of this downfall. Now, V'al Oysa Shashaninu, is in that moment that they had said that the armies on the outside of Yerushalayim had destroyed all the crop, that this is when Maisa Shabal Eimer Megal Gestrifen, this was when the story of our Mishnah happened, that they had to bring the Eimer from Gagestrifen, B'Shtei Alechem, and B'Kisei Seicher, they had to bring the two breads of B'Shtei Alechem from the valley of Ayin Seicher. Now, Kimata Eimer, well, the story continues. When the time for bringing the Karmen Eimer came, Lahavi Yadi Mehecha Aisi Eimer, they didn't know where to bring the Eimer from because all the environs right outside were destroyed by these soldiers that were laying siege. So Achraz, they made an announcement, whoever knows where there's grain, shall let us know. Asuha Charasha, so there was a certain Cheresh who was able to hear but was mute. He came and he couldn't tell them. So what he did was, Eisiv Chadu Yada Ikri, put one hand on the roof. And they put another hand on a hut that doesn't have a roof. It's just pointy on the top. It's made out of willow. And Amlu Mordechai, so Mordechai from the Purim story, who's from the days of Achashverosh, Mordechai Tzadik, he said to them when he saw what this person was doing, says, Mika duchta d'shmo Gagas Srifen. Is there a place called Gagas Srifen? Because this is what he's doing in the charade. He's touching a roof, which is a Gag, and he's touching a hut, which is a Tzaref. Oit Srifen Gagas, maybe there's a place called Srifen Gagas, which is the flip hut roof, but Guvash Kechu, they checked and they found that, yeah, there was a place, Gagat Srifen, and that's where they were able to get the Omer for that year of the second day of Pesach. So to Kiboy Lasu Yishtei Alechem, they wanted to get the Shtei Alechem, which is the new carbon, the mincha of wheat, they didn't know where to get it from, they didn't see any wheat. Achrozin made an announcement, As Ahu Gaba Charasha, so that man that was mute came along, and Oisib Yoda Aine, he put one hand in his eye, he put another hand in the socket by the doorpost, which is where they would stick the bolt into the door to lock it. So Amalu Mordechai, so Mordechai said to them, Umika duchta d'shma ein seicher, their place called ein seicher, because that's what he's alluding to, his eye and the socket. Ein seicher ayin, or maybe it's the other way around, because wasn't sure which hand is saying the first word. But Bot Kavashko, they checked and they found that, yeah, there was a place called Ayin Seich, and that's where they found, in that Bika, that's where they found the wheat for the Shtei Halech. Now, similar on this theme about this characteristic of Mordechai figuring out what was being said, Hanu Shalosh Nashim, there were these three women, the Aisu Shalosh Kinyan, that they each brought their own pair of two birds, which made for a total of three pairs. Chadu Amar L'Zivasi, one came along and says, that my pair of birds is coming for my Ziva. That's why I'm bringing this pair of birds. V'chadu amr l'yamasi, the other one said, I'm bringing it for my sea, for the yam. V'chadu amr l'yamasi, the other one says, I'm bringing it for my time, for my period. So savmina, so they thought, the sages who were there, that zivasi zava mamish. What does she mean for my ziva? Literally, a woman becomes richly impure when she has a certain flow of blood called ziva. And after she finishes counting days of cleanliness, so she has to bring a pair of birds. L'yamasi, the woman who said, I'm bringing it for my the sea. Liyamasi mamash meant literally that because she also had ziva, she had this flow which flows like the sea, and she's now tar, she's bringing the karbanas that has to be brought. Loinasi, the one who says I'm bringing for my aina, for my period, meant literally for the period of when a person has to bring a karban because she had a ziva, which is on the eighth day of when she's pure. Which therefore that comes at the kulu that all of them, all the three pairs of birds, would be chata chatas v'chata ayla. One of them would be a karban chatas, one would be karban ayla. As the pair of birds are when a woman gives birth or has a ziva, that one is a chatas, one's an ayla. But Amalu Mordechai said to them, no. Shema bezayv sikana. Maybe, she's not bringing because she was a zava. Maybe she had such a huge flow of blood that she was actually in danger of dying. And she actually donated a pair of birds to say that because of this great miracle, I'm going to go ahead and bring this pair of birds. And maybe actually both of them are like a nedava, which they're both oilis. And she was just in danger because of her flow of blood. And the one who said, liyamasi, shema biyam sikana. Maybe she actually was in danger of her life because she was at sea, and because she was saved, she's bringing a pair of birds, which are oilis. And shema be'inis sikana, maybe the third one was because she had a danger in her eye, and she donated two oilis. The kula oilis, and then which would actually come out that there all would be oilis, not one chatas, one oila. And badlik v'ashkach, they inspect, and they found that exactly what Mordechai had said, he was able to read into the words and understand what was the true intention of what someone was trying to say. And the Gemara continues the time of Samachim and Alpha, and this is what we learn in Mishnah Masech the Shkalim. It says, Pesach Yalakina, it talks about all those that were in charge of different things in the Beis HaMikdash. It says that Pesachi was his name, he was in charge of the pair of birds, meaning on that box that was called Kinan. Because there were different boxes, there were 13 boxes in the Beis HaMikdash. And whoever would donate a pair of birds would bring money and put into that box. Now, there were two boxes that on them it said that these were Kinan. One was for Tayrim, where were for older birds, and one was for Gezel Ali, for the young pigeons, as the Mishnah says in Shkalim. And it says, and that's what is explained over there in Shkalim, who is this Pesachia? Zeh Mordechai, this refers to Mordechai Tzadik. Lama Nikr Shmei Pesachia, why was it called Pesachia? She Peseach, that's the word Peseach, Devar and Medarshan, he would open up words and he would expound them. In other words, for example, like when the woman would say, if these pair of birds for Yamasi or Inasi, he knew what it really meant, he knew how to interpret it. And V'yedei B'shem Lashon, he also knew all the 70 languages. And that is the Gemara, that's why it's called Pesachia. Kula Sanhedrin Nami Yadi Shem Lashon. All of the high court, which Mordechai was one of them, they all knew the 70 languages. Dam Rabbi Yechanan says, Imashiv Mesanhedrin, we don't appoint to the high court, Ela Bali Chachma, only those who are sagacious, Bali Mara, those who have men of appearance, Bali Kaima, men of height, so that the litigants should be afraid of them and intimidated and not lie. Bali Zikna, elderly men, Bali Kshavim, those who know witchcraft, sorcery, that if, let's say, the defendant goes ahead and performs witchcraft so that the fire that they're burning him will not take hold of him, that they could do witchcraft themselves and make him die in whatever situation is required. And B'yayit M'shem Lashon, and they have to know all the 70 languages. Why? Shalaiti Sanhedrin Shemas Me'piatugman, so that the Sanhedrin should not have to hear when someone's testifying some other language from an interpreter who might switch the words that they're saying and they're going to make him liable inappropriately because they don't really hear clearly what the person's saying directly. So what is it saying so great about Mordechai? Ella, rather, what it means to say that he knew all the languages was to have a bayah lishani. He actually would mix together different languages, but darshan he would expound, for example, like by that story where he took ayin seicher and gagas srifin. So he was able to mix it together. That was his great attribute. This is what it says in the pasuk in the Chemia, that they called him b'mordechai bilshan. Why they call him Mordechai bilshan? It's because the word Bilshan is from the word of Bayelishan. He was able to mix together different words, and that was what was great about him. He was able to be Peseach, Dvarm, Vidarshan, and also he was able to be Bayelishani, and that's like we find in this story that he was able to understand exactly, like in the Halacha of our Mishnah, to get where the Omer and the Shtei Lechem was from this place of Ein Seicher, and from Gagas Trifin, he was able to understand sign language, different languages, put it all together. That was Mordechai Tzadik's great value.